Hebrews in chapter 2 today, but if we would, let's just turn to John chapter 1 first. Like Mon just said, we don't do our studying together. Maybe we should, but I've been on a word search throughout this week too, and I was searching the word. And just one area that's, I think we really need to examine, you know, each and every one of us. The Word of God says that we should work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Fear is an awesome, reverent respect for a God who loves us beyond anything I think we can humanly comprehend. So John 1, or chapter 1, says in the beginning, well, you know, it's just, and it's not just because it's there, the word, just like Pat is saying lost. She didn't mean lost eternally in her salvation, just this void feeling, just this emptiness. Look those things up, but we're going to see that the filling ingredient to those feelings and emotions and griefs is the Word of God, if we hold it in the highest esteem. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, you know, the importance of this word. There's a lot of words out there, aren't there? Just like the word lost. I'm lost in my salvation. I'm lost in my directions. I'm lost as what to do. We have all those. Well, the Word is God, is Jesus Christ. I'm preaching to the choir, but maybe somebody's watching at home. And I pray that if you're at home and you're not a regular believer in Jesus Christ, today would be your day to question your life. What does the Word mean in my life? What place does the Word of God take in my life? Is it a secondary spot? Is it something that if I have time, I'll go to? Is it something that I just don't understand? I think that's an age-old excuse that needs to be taken out of the books. God will give us understanding through His Holy Spirit if we ask Him. This Word is what's going to walk us through the darkest of times that you and I have ever been in and are entering into. We've seen nothing yet. Lighten it up a little bit. Bob Dylan's got a song, "It Ain't Dark Yet," but it's getting there. And it's getting dark. And it's going to get darker. And it's going to get darker. And again, one of those words where it doesn't mean we're going to be walking around in pitch blackness with no light. It just means that understanding, that darkness that's coming upon this world, the only way to get light shed into that is through the Word of Jesus Christ. Amen. So in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. All things. Me. You. Oh, we think, you know, well, my parents made me. No. God gave our parents the ability to make each and every one of us. That's how important this really is. And this Jesus Christ, who for some reason is becoming a sidebar, even in the lives of believers, everything was made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, didn't understand it. A lot of that is willing ignorance. And I feel if we want to come out of this state of darkness, this state of feeling empty, lost, confused, confounded, we need to get into God's Word more than we have in the past. Just turn quickly before we go to, I think it's John 3, 19, maybe. Oh, no, 17. We'll be going into Hebrews. This darkness, like I said, the the smallest amount of God's light, which is his word. What does Psalm 119 say? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That means that we've got a way to walk. That means that our visual and our hearing and our, you know, everything around us is dependent upon that light, that word of God. But this world is very rapidly stamping that out, I feel. And I pray that it doesn't happen to anybody that I know, that I claim that I love, that they would not hear God's word. We don't have to convince them. We don't have to sell and get people to sign on the dotted line. We just need to let people know this is what's happening. Not what we're seeing on TV, not what we're hearing on the radio, not what we're reading in these, you know, periodicals that come up, or whatever they call periodicals, a book. That's an old word, isn't it? The junk that we read on the computer. There's so many things that are being said out there. There's good things that are being said on there also. There is information if you dig deep for it. But I pray that we dig into the Word of God. In here are hidden treasures. They're not just found anymore on the surface. These are things that it's going to take effort. It just doesn't happen. You're going to have to read this thing as compared to maybe watching a losing football game. We're going to have to actually sit and neglect something of our time that we wanted to do to actually sit there and look at this, because it just doesn't happen. It's amoral in a sense, you know, the book. It just will sit there until you and I go home, wherever that might be. But when we open this up and we look, that's when the light starts to shine. And I feel that's what, in Hebrews, that's what Paul is trying to get some of the believers that were converted from Judaism to Christianity. He was trying to get them to just pay attention to what you knew and you know was a truth that brought you here today. See, because God sent not, in verse 17, John chapter 3, if you turn there, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. That's, oh, you know, he's like mom used to, I can't even talk to my brother anymore, you know. Mom used to tell us, oh, God's going to punish you, you know. And I mean, for a while, until I realized I was doing such bad stuff and I never got spanked yet, God wasn't waiting around to stomp on me. God wasn't waiting to punish me. Made me think at that time, does God even know that I exist? Trust me, by him, all things were made. He knows we exist. He's got a plan for us. He's got something that he wants, and it's good. There isn't a bad thing in it. But God didn't send his son into the world to condemn it, as most people feel, but that the world, not just some of us here at Calvary Chapel, but that the world through him might be saved. This is a faith, this is a belief, this is an offering to the world. It's not elitist. It doesn't, oh no, you can't come into this belief fold because you aren't a Jew, you're not a Muslim, you're not this, you're not that. This is open to anyone who has ears to hear and eyes that want to really start to see a light to stop stumbling through this world. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, verse 19, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Whew. That's the word of God. Smash and grabs aren't happening today because of some socioeconomic problem. Smash and grabs, lootings, burnings, riotings, pulling down things. That's not happened because of the COVID pandemic. It's happening because men hate the light. They're evil. Period, amen. Has anybody in here done a smash and grab this week down at Zales or Ted's shop? Coming to a place near you soon. That's the word. That's not me. And people, people will recoil at this if you say it. But this is God's word. Are we ashamed of it? No. The problem in the world today is not any of the little headings that we can put them under. It's the fact that men, women, anthropos, everybody that's created does not want to surrender to Jesus Christ. Simple problem. So that's why the word is so important. Let's go to Hebrews if we would. Somebody, if we're concerned, somebody's going to have to go like that around noon, because I haven't got a clue what time it is. As I did, I didn't get the battery for the little clock, but that don't mean anything anymore, does it? It's been gone. So last week we left off Hebrews chapter 2. We left off in verse 3. And verse 3 was, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? The gospel, the words of Jesus Christ, the words that he speaks to us that come from his Father. That if we want to understand and we want to open our eyes and we want to open our ears and we want to see our little life and somebody else change, this will change the world. And if not the world, it will change Doug Gibney if I apply it. Maybe the world is too big of a target to aim at. Let's start with us. You know, and I, years and years and years ago, I remember reading one little verse in Acts that said, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your household will be saved. I watched my wife come. I watched my children come. I watched my sister, my brother. I watched my whole family, and there's still more, but I watched them come. This word is true. This word is yay and amen. But it won't shine that light in the darkness that's happening around us if we neglect it. And that's what Paul, you don't have to reject it, just neglect it. And you know, I know I repeated that a lot last week, but I want us to think, what in my life, and I'm talking about me, what in my life, other than all the other stuff, like what have I neglected, like the garage? I haven't thrown the things away in the loft that Pat said have been up there for 10 years, but I need them. So I promised her I would get some of that and throw it away. JJ, how come we didn't clean out the loft? Because I didn't want to. I have good stuff up there. Gosh, just neglect. It's just a little neglect, but look what's happening. Things are spilling over the loft. I can't have anybody in my garage because where's Robin? It looks like yours. You can get hurt in there. There's so much stuff. Just neglect, though. See, it's not reject. It's not, I don't care anymore. Just let it rot. It's just neglect. I'll get that later. I'll get to the word maybe tomorrow. You know, when I finish building the house, I'll do that. You know, I'll get into God's word when you fill in that blank, because for each one of us, there is a different excuse. But I got a scripture sent to me that's been on my heart. Thou art without excuse, O man, for he's shown you what is good and what the Lord requires of thee. He's shown us that. Not one of us with a good excuse. So this question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? That was a question that truly has no positive eternal answer. If we neglect this word, if we neglect Jesus Christ, there is no answer of escape to that place called heaven. And I said it for the first, you loved it, you said, I love it when you say I'm going to heaven. Thank you for saying that, Tom, because some of the circumstances in my life over the last 2 years have really made me neglect the fact that I'm going to heaven. Why? Something I did? No, because he said I am. He said I am. And if that's not enough, I don't know what, I might as well close the book and go home. We need to get into this word. There is no other way of escaping what is to come, and that's the judgment that's going to be placed on this world, utter darkness beyond anything that ever has been or ever will be again. How can I escape? So it has, the answer is you can't. Your money isn't going to get you to heaven. Your IRAs, your car, your home, how good you are, the little things that we do that we should do anyhow, those things aren't going to gain our entrance into heaven. God will ask us, what did you do about my son? What did you do about my son? Did you reject him? Some are going to say yes, and depart from me, I never knew you. Some of us might say, I believed in him, but I've neglected him. I've squandered so much time on my own. I've neglected him in those days that I complained about a two-hour movie that wasn't, that we didn't even know how it ended. Remember the other one the other night? Have you watched those for hours? And all of a sudden you know, here it comes, boom, and the screen goes blank. It's like, how did it end? How did that, we don't know. 3 hours, 2 hours, whatever it might be, how did it end? I'll tell you what, you get into this word, you know exactly how it ends.
Amen.
Exactly. God wins. I'm going to heaven. I hope that each one of us can bring somebody with us. And if you're listening at home today, heaven is where we're going. No more darkness. Light. Light beyond anything. No sun. No moon. Because Jesus Christ is going to be that radiance. How shall we get to that if we neglect him? We can't. In the positive, though, how shall we escape if we just leave it there? Through Jesus Christ. He's made a way of escape. He's got a plan for each and every one of us. And it's in his word, sovereignty of God. But on my human responsibility, I need to consistently and constantly apply this word to my life. I just can't read it. Oh, that's nice. And then walk away. When I'm in a pit of despair and I'm feeling lost, or I'm feeling like, I shared with Tom today, you know, here I go again. I miss my daughter. This is her birth week. You know how much that means to me and Craig? We've changed it from birthday to birth week over the 40 years that we've known each other to now it's our birth month. We go for it. But none of this meant anything anymore. Just feels like, but then I get into this word and I start thinking about the promises that he's made to each and every one of us. The things that he has that we haven't even begun to look into. Then that, when I apply it to my life, it starts to change me. Things still stink, but I can bear it. He's given us a way to escape. But without his word, without Jesus, there is no escape. So we need to get into his word. I'm just going to give a few that God has brought me through this week and is still, I sit down and it's like he bathes me in something new each and every time when you read it. I'd ask you to turn to Titus, if you would, chapter 2. A chapter and a book, an epistle that we've been in consistently over the years, but words, Ma, look up those words, like you said, and I'm thank you for that. Titus chapter 2, we've heard it in Hebrews that God is speaking to us. In Hebrews 1, I think it's verse 3, he's speaking to us now, today, tonight, whatever. He's speaking to us through Jesus Christ right now. It's the only way we're going to hear these things. And one of the biggest things that he's trying to get across is right there. And I love, for the grace of God that brings salvation. Remember, we're talking about neglecting a great salvation. How do I understand what that great salvation is? I apply it in my life first. I can't do it to you. But when I sit in awesome wonder, as that song just said, and I realize that Jesus Christ went to this cross for Doug Gibney, that I might live with him eternally, that he has forgiven me of everything I've done in the past, the present, and there won't be any in, well, future is 1 o'clock from here. When I start to think of that, when I think of what God paid, to allow his son, when I know just a little bit of a pain of separation, and some of you do too with a loved one. What kind of love is that? I need to know about this. That's going to shine some light into the darkness that I'm starting to feel very comfortable in. I almost got rude and said, I've gotten so comfortable I don't even turn the light on to go down to the other end of the house to the bathroom in the middle of the night anymore. Darkness just seems, it's all right. I know where I'm going, do we? The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, everyone. Why? Why did God bring this? To teach us that denying, that means just saying no to ungodliness and worldly lusts. And see, those worldly lusts, those are the things that cause us just to neglect God's word. Fun, nothing wrong with it. I love fun more than anybody. Pat will tell you that. I'm going to go have some this afternoon, I hope. These worldly lusts are things that cause us to neglect the word of God, the only thing that can steer us in right directions. That we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. I think is, what is it, Luke 1 talks about that. That we should be living in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life, not just on a Sunday. Through this word that will give us that escape to that place called heaven. The word is telling us that we should be looking. Look at 13. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Anna Smith, you all, Anna used to just cry out there too, give us Nedelin for Jesus. And she always used to cry that today was a great day to come back, God. Am I looking for him? Or has things kind of eliminated that brightness? Because looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing, glory, it's going to be so filled with radiance. And that's that light we're talking about. Can you explain it? What will that be like? Well, it ain't going to be dark. And it's not going to be boring. And it's not going to give us the lost, empty, void feelings that we have today. Through the word of God, this is what is going to cause that escape. We should be looking every day. But I just want to build my house. I want to see my great-grandbabies. And, you know, that's great. But let's look for them. I can't wait for her to come home from work. Do you want to be together? Or is it just like, I'd rather, let me go get another place. And we should be that empty without Jesus Christ's presence. Every moment of the day, I should be looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing. Why should I be doing that? Because he gave himself for us. He gave himself. What? Unless we look at these words like he was saying this morning, I can't believe how God's molding it together. He gave himself for you and me, Tommy. Now, we knew ourselves fairly good. He knew us better. But was there anything really worth, at your worst, giving anything for? I'm speaking for myself. No, there really wasn't. I gave Robin. I'm drifting off. We'll get to the sermon next week. We'll finish 3 next week. We had Thanksgiving over at the lodge. And Alice brought something over, but she was running right back home. Well, I had just cooked up this venison sausage as an appetizer. Well, I heard Ma give one to Alice, and she loved it. And she goes, oh, Robbie would love this. Wake up back there, Rob. How was that venison sausage?
Otherworldly.
I gave it to him. God gave his son. I gave Robin a deer sausage. But you know what? I was thinking about that last night. I had 5 of them. And I was nickeling them up to put out on the table for people to eat with a toothpick. And I still had three left when I gave Alice that one to send to you. And I really had God talking to me saying, if you only had one to begin with, would you have given that to Robin? And I said, no. Honesty. I mean, we need to be honest with ourselves, don't we? Otherwise, it's just life is a joke. It's a charade if we're not honest. If I can't be honest with myself, who can I be honest with? I gave a sausage because I had five. God gave his son, but he only had one. Only had one. How important is the word? God gave himself for us that he might redeem us. Underline that. Redeem us. See, we're not recovering. We're not rehabilitated. We're not re-educated. We are redeemed. That's part of my problem. That was part of my problem for years. I thought I was a recovering individual. I'm not recovering. I'm redeemed. I'm renewed. Not just rehabilitated, straighten up until the next time I mess up. I'm redeemed. That's how much is in this word that we read and the word of God that he gave himself that he might redeem us from all iniquity, purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, witnessing. You know, not just knocking on doors, just living a life as a Christian the best I can in front of people every day. And if I mess up, just apologize for it. And let's just keep going. The time is getting dark. Those days that we can walk in light, I think, are going to be very, very minuscule. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. I'm speaking them. I'm exhorting you. Get into the Word of God. I'm exhorting you to apply it to our lives. As a pastor, with God's permission, I will rebuke myself first for the times I neglect this. I'll rebuke those who, for whatever the reason, other than something serious, are not still attached to the body of Christ. Rebuking those who refuse this word, that do you desire to go to an eternity separated from a God who loves you? That's just a question. The authority, I guess, which I really at times have a hard time with, is an authority given by God for taking the spot up here. Hebrews chapter 12. I said last week, there's a reason for the necessity of God's word. There's a reason for this salvation that we're here. We are. Why are we here today? Why are we really here today? You know, another question. Why are you watching this today from the comforts of your home? Why? And I pray it's to hear God speak to me. I need an answer. I need to hear something. I need to know that he's at least listening the word. If you're here to hear a wonderful, probably the best Calvary Chapel worship team, that's good, but that's not good enough. If you're here for the great teaching that goes on in the back on Sunday morning, that's not good enough in a sense. For me, for sure, isn't good enough. We should be here joining, congregating, that we might hear and see Jesus Christ. That's what Sunday church is about. And I feel we can keep going in the word, but that's the real reason is he wants us to see him. He wants us to hear him because of Hebrews 12, verse 25. Remember, we're talking about neglect. I haven't got there yet, but I am getting there. We're talking about neglect. But here the Holy Spirit through Paul says, see that you refuse not him that speaks. Who speaks now? Simple, Jesus. The word, this word that we have written down. For if they escaped not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, is the word again, saying, yet once more. Haggai 2:6, this is a repeat of the Old Testament. Why did he repeat this a couple of times at least? It's because he's going to do it. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. His words won't pass away is what he told us. Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but the heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made. Everything around us, we've seen earthquakes, we've seen things get moved, we've seen houses float. You were over in Jamestown after the flood probably more than anybody. Homes going down what you used to be able to sit and put your feet in. There's something on its way. And without the light of God's word, it's going to be very dim. But he's going to shake everything that can be shaken. That's the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken, our faith may remain. Wherefore, verse 28, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we might serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Whew. Some that don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ will be told to depart to everlasting, eternal darkness, outermost darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth, wailing for eternity. Our God is a consuming fire, but our God is also a just God. He's a God who loves us. He's righteous. He's holy. And these consuming fires, even if it's in neglect, I feel is going to be the things that God had prepared for me. And I neglected them. I don't lose my salvation, but poof, they just burn up. Wood, hay, stubble. They're going to go. All of those things that he prepared, not because we're such good people, because he loves us. I mean, I watched Love on a little, video, where you guys had more fun than Eden had in that car. God, see, God prepares things because he loves us, those rewards, and he doesn't want them to burn up in that consuming fire of his righteousness. God wants to give us these things because he loves us, and man, I bet you it jazzes them because I saw Reed just running, oh my gosh. She's following this little ATV thing that they bought her and make sure she doesn't crash into a tree, and Seth is working it on a remote control, and everybody, all I heard was the adults having a hoot because you got her that reward, didn't you? That's how God is with us. Amen. That's how God, there's your car, Eden, go on outside and have a ball. We're going to come in here and watch the Broncos. God has these things for us, and he just doesn't want us to watch them go up in smoke. That's why he's saying, look for me. Look for me. Look for his coming, but look for him in each other. Look for him in the things that happen daily around us out there in this little town that we call home. Just look for him. And I guarantee you we're going to see him every day. And then back that up with his word somehow. Otherwise, neglect runs rampant. And I'll end with this revelation. Does anybody have this one yet? Revelation 3. And he's talking unto the church of Sardis. But you know, everything, like I've said over the years, everything is not to us, but everything is for us. There is an application to God's word. And when it comes to Paul's question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Well, I feel we can't, but this is how I will escape. This is how. Be watchful in verse 2. Be watchful. What that means is wake up. A lot of talk lately in this part of our generation about being woke and knowing and seeing everything. God is saying wake up. He said this way before anybody penned any of that stuff. Doug, wake up. and strengthen, make sure. It's kind of like, anybody, was there any wind last night? Because when I got up, there was stuff all over my front yard. Jason's table was there. I mean, the things are just, the sunflower was over the other. Things are everywhere. What God is saying is, Doug, you're going to escape, but don't neglect the things that I'm saying. The time that you have, wake up and make sure, just like taking a chair and putting it inside so the wind doesn't blow it away. What else do we lose? We love wind chimes, but at Arapahoe Ranch, you don't put wind chimes out in front of the house. They're just not there. So just strengthen. This isn't, it's not like saying, okay, you gotta put on a suit and a tie and go out 5 days a week and knock on doors and hand out tracts and whatnot. God's saying, just strengthen the things which remain. What remains? We know that from Corinthians. Faith, hope, and love. Faith in God. Hope in God. And love for God. And then we bring it down to a plane right here and we just practice that on each other. But God is saying, if we neglect, there's going to be a consuming time in our lives, a time of tears, I feel, which he will wipe away for believers. And it has nothing to do with, but there's a, not only wipe the tears away, but he puts them in a bottle. And I've always said, Tommy has, it looks like the back room for our water jugs. There's like filled 5 to 10 5-gallon water jugs of your tears, Tommy. What's going to be cool for eternity is maybe God will, he'll let us know what every one of those tears meant. Every time you cried, every time you were concerned, every time that something affected you, it affected him. Strengthen the things that remain. They're ready to die. That's what happens on neglect. Cars, we've said that, homes, bodies, clothes, just neglect brings things to that stage of worthlessness. For I have not found your works perfect before God. So here's the 3 R's to end with. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received, second R, and heard, and hold fast, and repent. And if you shall not watch, I'll come on you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon thee. That's the importance of God's word. That's the importance of just a little rest, a little folding of the hands. Quick, everything falls in. The neglect that we so easily write off, we should take a new view of, I feel, I do, in God's word. And I have to remember, just like he was saying in Hebrews, here's the Holy Spirit backing it up. Remember how you have received. Remember how hurt, you know, oh, I can't remember the day. I don't think God is so concerned with what day, what hour did you give. What's that old song? Do you remember? If you were saved on a Monday, stand up. We used to sing that. I don't think he's so concerned about that. But what he's saying in this neglect part, because we're going to the table, this is about him. Remember how thou hast received. Do you remember how empty you were? Do we remember how lost we felt? Do we remember how nothing was satisfying, whichever way we went after it? It wasn't. He's just saying, remember how you heard, how you received it. All of a sudden, it was like, wow, didn't that feel great? When you heard it and it bathed you. And then repent. Just say, sorry. Let's go. I want to get into the word today. I want to get into the word maybe tomorrow. After we watch the Broncos today. The word is very important. What time is it? I'm just babbling. No, I'm speaking the word of God, I hope. Let me take that back. What time? Time for communion. Apply God's word. The word, the word, the word. Physically, things deteriorate from neglect. Spiritually, things deteriorate with neglect. And the only thing that you and I have to do, we don't have to make big promises, we don't have to just stop everything. We just have to get back into His Word and look to Him and utilize that Word. I'm going to give this one, okay? If I can find it. How important is the Word? How important is God's Word? Luke chapter 4, and I'll get moving because we do need to get to the table. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Ghost. Man, can you imagine what that must feel like? But, you know, we've been given the Holy Ghost, and He hasn't just given us a little bit of the Holy Ghost. He's given us the Holy Ghost. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And whatever you're going through today, in that neglect or whatever else that we're trying to prevent, just remember that sometimes God puts us into these places, this wilderness, if you would, not for temptation, but for testing, just to see what we're made of, just to see what we're going to do, to see who we're going to depend on. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, so this is the necessity of the word, the word, the word. These are bodily, basic bodily necessities that the devil is tempting him with, which he's tempting us with today. Same thing. And how shall we escape? Remember, we escape by the word. The devil said unto him, if you're the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. So again, food, drink are common basic necessities. How did Jesus answer that? He would have said, yeah. And he could have created some kind of croissant with sausage and, you know, everything. He didn't do that, did he? He could have. A stone, watch this, Satan, boom. We're talking about God here, Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, it is written. It's written. That man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. Huh. Apply that to today's situation. And the devil, taking him up to a high mountain, showed unto him the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give you. And all this stuff, you said it today, I think, and we've got so much stuff, and that's all it is stuff. It's not going with us, but the word will remain, and so I'll give you this power and the glory, and that is that's delivered unto me and to whomever I will give it to. If you therefore will worship me, all will be thine. This is just the temptation of not only neglect, but worshiping something else other than God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get behind me, Satan. Again, the word, for it is written. Deuteronomy, you'll find that. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from here. See, Satan is using the word. For it is written, this is Satan saying that in 10, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. Psalm 91. Satan's repeating that to Jesus Christ. My goodness. Satan is using the word, but what he's doing is he's tempting him with a physical need or protection. Protection. I said to myself, I wasn't going to, this isn't the protection. It might help, but it's not the protection. This is what Satan is doing to the world today. I'll give you this. I'll give you that. I'll do this. God, again, like I said, Psalm 91 is what I'm trying to think in. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is said. I like the way that's said. Did you ever wonder why it didn't say it is written? Does somebody have that on theirs? In verse 12?
It says.
Yeah. That's almost like that's a definite right there. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed him for a season. All I hope that each one of us gets today from this is the necessity, the efficacy of God's word, how necessary it is in every one of our lives, that the things that are happening around us, the escape that you and I look forward to, is a glorious day. It's not some escapist mentality. It's a day that we're going to be with our Lord and Savior. It's a day that I can't imagine how excited we're going to the table. How excited is he that we remember him right here on earth to help us not neglect? But how much is he looking forward to this day when he will come to us in heaven and just really open our understanding to what this little bit of his word really means? So that's it for me. Father God, help us as we go to the table again. This isn't about us. Help us to remember you, the things that you did in our life, how precious, for whatever the reason must have been, that we were in your sight, and how you love us. As we go to the table today, please allow us to just hold that you might shed your light on us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Craig?